our special Hanukkah installment. This is a halachic theme for the Parsha, but this will not be connected to the Parsha. A special shiur for on Yom Hanukkah. Just wanted to take this opportunity to ask anybody, you know, certain times of the year, like now, we have the cholent sponsored by officials, and other times of the year, we need to ask the members of the shiur to sponsor the cholent. This time of the year, where we don't need anyone to pay, Baruch Hashem, to the generosity of officials, one thing we do have trouble with is picking up the cholent. So if anyone could, even on a semi-regular basis, even if we can make a rotation of different people, if you could let me early last and know, it would be very much appreciated. The topic I wanted to speak about this evening is the topic specifically of women's obligation in Neros Chanukah. And I want to speak about it in the more general sense as it relates to other mitzvos, other holiday mitzvos, which we'll see in a moment, are grouped together. And then more specifically, some of the specific details and the different minhagim which exist. The different families have different minhagim about whether the single girls light, whether the married, the mother lights. I hope to get to that by the end of this year as well. The source of this discussion in the Gemara is Masechta Shabbos, the famous Bamei Madlikin sugyas that discuss Neros Chanukah. And there it's in the context of a well-known, unrelated or not directly related machlokas, a broader issue, which is what is the actual mitzvah? The famous machlokas of hadlaka or hanacha osa mitzvah. We just take it for granted that it's the hadlaka osa mitzvah, which is how we paskin, but the Gemara had a different thought that perhaps maybe placing the menorah in the place that it need, in the right place where it needs to be, is the mitzvah. We paskin, as the Gemara says, hadlaka osa mitzvah. And therefore, the Gemara continues a train of thought, because of that, a cherushot of a katan are not going to light. After all, if the mitzvah is lighting, but they're not bar chayuva and mitzvos, therefore they're not going to light. However, who often or sometimes is grouped together in certain types of mitzvahs with cherushot of a katan is sometimes an isha, right? We know that women are sometimes exempt from mitzvahs of sechazman grama. The eved, for example, is directly patterned after that. Allah mi isha. However, the Gemara says, the famous member of Yeshua ben Levi, you might have thought that, but it's not true. Women are obligated in Neros Chanukah because of af hein payu ba'osa hanes. Now, even though the Havamin is not beferish in the Gemara, it's clear that Rishonim point out that really women should have been exempt from Chanukah candles. Right, the Gemara, Mishnah, Masechta Kedushin, and Daf Chav Tes, and the Gemara is there in the end of the first parak, discuss the source for the notion that women are exempt from mitzvah sasechus man grama. And it's true that there's a whole discussion of the Gemara, what counts as a mitzvah sasechus grama, what doesn't. But certainly, holiday-associated mitzvahs are classic examples of mitzvahs which women should be exempt from. Why? That's not our topic, but that's the drosha that the Gemara in Masechta Kedushin gives. Now, we know that there are examples of mitzvahs which do break that rule, exceptions to the rule, not because it doesn't meet the criteria of a mitzvah man grama. Mitzvah X or Y does. But maybe there's an overriding factor which will obligate them anyway. So to take an example, all of the positive mitzvahs of Shabbos. You don't need to wait till a holiday once a year, every 7 days. Right? Is a woman obligated in Kiddush or not? So if you would ask anyone misvara, they should be exempt. It's a sechus man grama. It's only once every 7 days. Whatever the law of the sechus man grama is, they should be patur from Shabbos. The answer is, we know, they're chayiv in all mitzvos of Shabbos, like a man. A woman can be motzi a man in Kiddush. Why? Because of the halacha, the drasha, the Gemara says, of zachar v'shamor b'dibur echad, as we say in the Lecha Dodi, that there is an absolute connection, a link between the positive and negative mitzvahs of Shabbos. It says, of course, women are obligated in all the losaseis. They can't do any malacha on Shabbos. By definition, memela, they're also obligated in mitzvahs asei. But again, if you take a step back, what does that mean? It means is that, yes, Shabbos, Kiddush, for example, is a mitzvah shalom grama. It is. We're not saying it's not. It is. But it's a mitzvah shalom grama that women are chayavos in anyway. So a whole category of mitzvahs, which also are in that group, are mitzvahs of which Ner Chanukah is a prominent member. And that is mitzvahs which fall into the category that the Gemara calls Af Hein Hayu Ba'oso Hanes. And in fact, it's mentioned in three Gemaras, always the name of Yeshua ben Levi. So one example, the one we're starting with, obviously, is in the Masechta Shabbos about Neros Chanukah. Chanukah is certainly a mitzvah asei Shehazman Grama. Of course, it comes, right, parallel to any other holiday mitzvah. Women should be exempt. But the answer is, even though it's Asei Shazman Grama, women are still obligated because of Afhein Hayu Ba'osah Hanis. What are the other two examples? Anyone know? Not Pesach. Megillah, in the Gemara, Masechta Megillah Daf Dalid. And what's the other one? Dalid Kosef. The Gemara in Arvei Pesachim, and Daf Kofkes, excuse me, says women are obligated in Dalid Kosos. Also, why? Afein Hayivosa Neis, right? The Dalid Kosos are Dalid Lashoner Shal Geula. They're about the Neis of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Megillah has to do with the Neis of Hatzalah in Purim. In all three of those cases, women should have been exempt. But they're Chayavos because of Afein Hayivosa Neis. Now, just as a very technical matter, there's a famous Machlokas Rishonim about the most basic of questions. What does that mean, Afein Hayivosa Neis? Not clear that it would be any nafkamina, maybe, and not what we're going to focus on tonight, but just, you've got to know Perish Hamilim. What does it mean? So one group of Rishonim, including, for example, Rashi and Psachim and Shabbos on our Gemara, says what it means is, in all three of these cases, a woman or women were the catalyst, the prime mover, the star in this miracle, in this story. Right, when it comes to Pesach, we know Bizchus Nashim Tzidkanios Nigalu. Right, so it's women as a group. Obviously, Megillah is the easiest one with Esther. And Rishonim say, even by Hanukkah, we know it's not per se connected to the Melchoma or to the Menorah, but we know one of the horrible, horrible decrees of the Greeks was the hegemon idea, the idea that a woman before she was married was basically raped. I hate to say it, but that's what it was. She was raped by the general. And we know Yehudis was able to kill the head general, and not only did that save the women from that particular terrible tsar, but as I understand it, I think the assumption is that, you know, kind of like, you know, you knock off the leader, it actually was part of help with the whole victory. So in all three of these cases, Rashi says, and other Rishonim say as well, they were the catalyst of the mitzvah. Now Tosfos in Megillah and other places argues on that, and perhaps their strongest argument is, if that's the case, so then the Lashon of the Gemara is a little bit difficult. Right? You wouldn't have said, Af Hain Hayu Ba'osaneis. They were also in the miracle, right? According to Rashi, it's they were the prime mover, the star, the catalyst. So Tosfos says, Af sounds like it's also. Now, you could still defend Rashi and say what also means is, because they were the prime mover, they're also obligated. They're also included in the mitzvot. But it's a little bit difficult in the language. So if that's not the pshat, what is the pshat? So Tosfos say a more simple pshat, which is certainly truer to the simple meaning of the words, and that is, they were also the beneficiaries. Hayu ba'osanes. Well, only the men were going to get killed in Shushan? Only the men were going to be, you know, enslaved in the most general sense in Egypt? Right? Who benefited? Who went free? Who got saved? Men, women, and children, everybody. And therefore, since they benefited, they should say thanks to Hashem. So that's, there may be some nafkamina to that machlokas, there may not be. That's not important for us in terms of exploring further, but it's just aleph beis. You can't talk about this topic intelligently unless we just mention that that is a machlokas. But be that as it may, one way or the other, there's a very interesting and important question that Tosfos asks. Tosfos in Masechta Megillah, Sochem also, asks the following question. I gave you three examples. Hanukkah, okay, there's one mitzvah in Hanukkah, women are obligated. Purim, so first of all, we could ask, what about the other mitzvahs? But let's assume women are obligated in those two, it doesn't just mean Megillah. But what about Pesach? Afin hayos anes, and therefore women are obligated in what? In Dalet Kosos. Is that the only thing we have on Pesach? What about the other mitzvahs of Pesach? Dalet Kosos are not even the main, by any stretch, the main mitzvah of Pesach. Right, they're not even the Oraisa. Oh, good, ooh, very good. Hold off for a second, hold off.
That's why you have to...
Yeah, what? Good, so, but that begs the question. Maybe it'll be also part of the answer, but for now, that begs the question.
So, they also have to beg for the Matampoi.
Right, so Tosfos asks, it's fine, good, Naniach, that's all true. What about matzah? Why don't we say women are obligated to matzah?
Is matzah any less a commemoration?
So we know matzah in general has a complex personality. This is not a Pesach here, right? But matzah really has, whether it's an hashkafa, especially maybe we're in learning also in Lumdus, has two dinim, right? Matzah is al lechem oni, but it's also al shem shenigalu. Right, so matzah, there's a lot of rias for that. Matzah has both aspects. But forget the fact that matzah is also because of lechemoni. But matzah is certainly representative of the gula also. So why don't we say women are obligated in matzah because of avei haveres? Joe, you have an answer? Why doesn't the Gemara say women are obligated in matzah because of avei haveres aneis? Now again, just so we should be confused. Women are obligated in matzah. It's a subject of a Gemara, an incredible Gemara. The Gemara is in Masechta Pesachim, much earlier in on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. And there, the Gemara has a fascinating. I'll mention to you, even though it's not our topic per se, just because the best of my, in my opinion, and I have not yet seen anything that would dispute this, it is the most outrageous and sensational Hava Mina anywhere in Shas. You hear what I just said? The most incredible Hava Mina anywhere in Shas. And I am open, it happened for years, to having someone give me something that would compete, but I haven't yet found it. The Gemara says, listen, there's a drasha that connects chametz and matzah. So we know they're connected. Chametz isn't just a losase. Chametz is a losase yesh bo kares. You have a losase with kares. So the Gemara says, well, maybe women are exempt from matzah because it's a mesaseh shazman grama, and matzah and chametz are connected. Hava Amina, what is that connection? You just, maybe women are exempt from the isser of chametz. Maybe women are exempt from the isser of chametz? Because there's a drasha that the Gemara has. If you're in chametz, you're in matzah. They're connected between matzah and chametz. So the Gemara starts off in one. Which direction is the connection? What's the ikker and what's the plant? What's dragon and shlep and the other thing? So the Gemara starts off by saying maybe that connection is so significant. Potter from matzah. Okay, this is one grow, and they're going to schlep along. Even potter from chametz. Now you understand that's unbelievable. We have a habit of women to eat chametz abeisa. I don't know of any Havmin anywhere shop that fast is down. But before you get too excited, the Gemara rejects it immediately. How did it reject it? It reverses the direction of the Limud. It says, no, are you crazy? Gaval, of course women can't eat chametz. What it means is, since they can't eat chametz, it must mean there's a connection in the other direction. Chametz schleps along matzah, women are also obligated in matzah. Adkan, the Gemara, women are prohibited from eating chametz. The same thing you thought when you started to come into the shir. Women can't eat chametz, they must eat matzah. Comes along Tosfos and says, what did we need to get into this whole limud? We almost went off the cliff. We almost said something crazy. We almost got into women being exempt from chametz. What do we need all this for? Why don't we just say simple? Women are obligated to eat matzah? Avhein, how you boso hanes? Or another question. Tosfos and Megillah, they also ask the question. Hemsachim, what about Sukkah? What about Sukkah? And here's even a bigger kasha. Because women are exempt from Sukkah. By matzah, they're chayiv anyway. The shayla was, why not use Afhain as the makor? But Sukkah women are exempt from. What's the purpose of Sukkah? L'man yeyu dor haseichem is to commemorate the nes of being protected in the midbar. Sukkos mamish, anei hakavod, what's the difference? Why not say women are potter from sukkah? Excuse me, chayiv in sukkah. Excuse me, because of avei rois v'aneis. If it's good enough for the Hanukkah lecht, if it's good enough for the menorah, and if it's good enough for dalet kosos, what about sukkah? What about matzah? How come those aren't there? Good. So Ellie and Alan and Louis and Shmuel were all Mechabit to the Balei HaTosos. You know, we speak about Tosos as a single person. It's actually inaccurate. Tosos is really the Balei HaTosos. It should be in plural. Right? If you're writing a shtickl, Tosos Tirtzu, not Tiritz. It's the Balei HaTosos. So we have four here. The Balei of this Teretz. We're all mechavim to the Balei HaTosfos. The Tosfos give a very technical explanation. They say, listen, the Svara of Avin HaYibosa Anes, in a sense, it's only Durabanan, it only works on mitzvos Durabanan. What's the connection? Is it a coincidence? Or not? Megillah's Durabanan, Chanukah's Durabanan, and Dalet Kosos Durabanan. Right? And that's why, says Tosfos, we can use it to be mechayev women in those three. And even though logically we would have extended it to matzah, we would have extended it to sukkah, we can't. Because those are the araisa mitzvahs. And therefore, afhein is a strong, powerful limud, but not that strong. It cannot create a chiyuv daraisa. The rabbanon it can do, not a daraisa. That is the technical answer, I guess you call it technical answer, of Tosfos. Now, there happens to be a very fascinating answer that was known for years, bal peh, that Rav Soloveitchik used to say over in the name of his father, Moshe Soloveitchik. Recently, it's less than 10 years, right, they published one of the most amazing sfarim ever, Igros Grid Halevi. It's a collection of letters that Rav Soloveitchik wrote in not that long a period. I think it was only, altogether, the letters are only over a 3 to 5 year period, if I'm not mistaken. The letters are published al Seder HaRambam. We have other great, you know, fascinating svarim, all the letters and correspondences of the Sofer and the Agers. We have great svarim, other acronym of their letters and stuff. But here you have letters published as a Sefer, mamish as a pirish, al Seder HaRambam. It's fascinating. Mamish, it goes from the beginning to Hilchos Malachim. Most of the letters are back and forth with his father, but there's one with Rav Huttner that I remember, there's one with the Marcheshes. Fascinating, fascinating letters. It turns out that all these years that people said over in the name of, if you go back, we have it in a letter. It was when he was in Berlin and he wrote to his father. It was back when it was his father, but it seems from that letter that it was his insight. Well, his father also said it, but it was really his chiddush. But one way or the other, we could call it from Beis Brisk. They give a following a different, more fundamental explanation to Tosfos' question, which is really very fascinating, and will then hopefully give as a segue to the rest of the shiur where we get more focused on Chanukah specifically. They said as follows. You have to be mechalek, and this, for the record, for those who don't have the Igros Grid Halevi, although I'm happy to lend you a copy of that, but it's in, for example, it's in a number of secondary sources, including Harei Kedem. Again, you want the original, it's much better. But if you want a diluted secondary version, the Harei Kedem quotes this. Other more recent Svarim quote this as well. But we now have the original. Anyway, basically, Rabbi, I once said, there's the memorial volume for Rav Soloveitchik, Zichron Rav, Rabbi Willig has a long article where he quotes this, he heard it from him. But again, the original is in the book of letters. So they make the following chilek. He said, you have to understand there's a difference in someone, I can't remember who, so forgive me, it was you, someone I think was already mechavin to this, in a sense. And that is that you have to be mechalik between something that is the zecher of the nes and something that is the piercer. Now, explain what that means. We're not just playing semantics. It doesn't just be memory versus public. What it means is follows. It's true, any holiday mitzvah, almost by definition, is commemorating a miracle. The whole holiday commemorates miracle X or Y. Sukkot commemorates that miracle, and Hanukkah represents that miracle, and Pesach that miracle. That's true. However, the question is, is that what we would call just the tam of the mitzvah? Why do we have sukkahs? Why do we have matzah? Why do we have these mitzvahs? They commemorate that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, that Hashem did this for us, and Hashem did that for us. That's one possibility. But there's another possibility, which is much more, in a certain sense, ambitious. And that is, it's not just that that's the reason why we have the holiday, the reason we have the mitzvahs. The mitzvah itself, the getter of the mitzvah itself, is to publicize that miracle. Not just that we have a mitzvah which is commemorating a miracle. The whole purpose of the mitzvah, the nature of the obligation. Now this in general, not digressing too much, this is a general important chiluk to have in mind. We often have it, especially, it's easier to see with takanos, but even with dinei daraisa, it's important to have this chiluk sometimes in mind, where we talk about the tam of a halacha, but that doesn't necessarily mean that tam, even when we can identify it, was written into the actual takana. I just gave as an example one of the first chaburas I ever said, and it's a warm spot in my heart still, but I'm totally out of left field. There's a halacha about dating a get. Right? Why do we have to date? There's a halacha that we have to date a get. that is not a din d'oraisa. The Gemara says that's a takana. The Gemara has a debate why the takana. Fine, whatever the reason, that's a takana, and there's reasons given in the Gemara. But a huge debate, clearly in the Rishonim and Achronim, is to what extent do we just say, listen, that's why there was a takana, to avoid this type of corruption or that type of corruption. But once they decided, therefore, you have to date again, the halacha is you have to date again, period. No ifs, ands, or buts. Right? You have a takana, you have the tama takana, but then you have the takana, which is totally separate. There are others who clearly learn differently. They said, not only is that the reason for the takana, but that was built into the takana itself. That's not just the tama takana, it's part of the details of the takana. And therefore, the big nafkamina is, and this is why this is not just semantics, but it's an important question to ask, is because you will have different nafkamina, sometimes the kula or sometimes the chumra, if you dwell, that's the reason for it. But the reason doesn't apply here, we can be maker. And takana is machlokas in cases X, Y, and Z. And the reason of the machlokas is exactly this question. Some say, yes, that was the reason, but who cares if that was the reason? Now we have a lacha called dating the get. So we can't change it, we can't be lenient, even though, yes, you're right, there's no worry. And others say, no, we have to be more commonsensical. That's the nature of the mitzvah. If the reason doesn't apply, the halacha doesn't apply. I can give you 10 other examples. That's just one of my favorites. So when it comes to this halacha as well, certain mitzvahs, yes, of course, certain mitzvahs are lezecher, they're commemorating a miracle. That doesn't mean that that's the actual halacha of the mitzvah. Others, the mitzvah itself is tied into the miracle. One way, again, if you want a sharp way of formulating it, you could say, as I refer to, some mitzvahs are lezecher anes, but others are not just that, they are themselves a person. Now, one way to easily tell, you can say, how do I know? So Soloveitchik mentioned a great raya of a bracha of she'asa nisim. There is no she'asa nisim on matzah. There is no she'asa nisim on sukkah. And I know what you're about to ask me, so just hold off a moment. Hold off a moment. It's not in the Haggadah. There's no she'asa nisim in the Haggadah. I thought that's what you were going to ask me. But hold off. So just to make the point. So Rav Soloveitchik said that's the explanation to Tosafos' question. We have Hanukkah, Megillah, and Dalet Kosos, the whole, not just that the reason for their existence is because of a miracle. The mitzvah itself is the chepzah of pirsum. The whole purpose of the mitzvah is pirsum. So that, women were obligated in. That's the halacha of Achin Hayivas Anes. But you have other mitzvos, which of course is true that they're not in a vacuum. Yes, it's true. Matzah is because of Lezecha the Nes of running out of Mitzrayim, etc. But that's why. But that's not what. The mitzvah is the mitzvah to eat matzah, period. And again, it's a litmus test, it's a proof. You can easily see that by Megillah and by Hanukkah, we have the mitzvah, we have the bracha not only of Lahadlik or Mikro or, you know, Megillah, but we also have she'asa nisim. You'll ask me, what about Dalet Kosos? There's no bracha. For that already, Rav Amram Gon and the Ravid already asked this kasha. This is an old kasha. You don't need the shtickle to ask. The Gon and Rishon asked this question, and they point out that the bracha of Asher Galanu, which is of course part of the Haggadah, that is essentially a longer, more complex version of she'asa nisim. It's the same theme. So in essence, in all three of those, and that's connected, of course, to the end of Dalet Kosos, the last Kosos, all three of those, you certainly have that by Haggadah, you have that by Megillah, and you have that by Hanukkah. So that is a litmus test, that's in a certain sense a proof, that is not just a commemoration of the Nes, but the whole mitzvah is Lefar Seim HaNes, and that's why we make a bracha, because that's a separate kiyum. It's not just doing the action, there's a special kiyum of connecting to the miracle. Okay, yes, if you get it, because clearly Dalet Kosos clearly here are not meant just as the mitzvah, just the drinking. It has to do with, of course, the whole, it's connected to Sibri Yetzias Mitzrayim. So let's ask the following question now. In light of all this background, let's focus specifically on Ner Chanukah for a moment. The Gemara says explicitly that women are obligated to light Ner Chanukah. So two questions. One is, which we'll get to, I hope, at the end, Lamaisa, Lamaisa, if you go from house to house on your block, you will inevitably come across the fact that there are two minhagim in Klal Yisrael. There are homes, wonderful homes, in which the married woman, the wife, does not light, and in many cases also the girls don't light, although in some cases you have the girls as opposed to the mother. And then you have other homes, which my guess is, at least in Ashkenazi communities, is a minority, but it's a healthy number, where the minna gives it to the woman, the mother does light. Anybody here? Okay. And whose family does the mother light? Okay, that's a pretty good... Yours. Okay, don't be embarrassed. It's good. No, there's nothing wrong with it. Chas v'shalom. How many, whose family do the girls, the daughters light? Your sisters, in your case. If you're not married, you could call it sisters. Okay. And how many do no females light? Okay, there's some people who just don't like to participate. They didn't raise their hand for anything.
I wasn't
Europe. Huh? I think there probably were different men hugging. I think so. I don't think so, no. I don't think so. Okay, so my first question to you is simply, especially since the rove of this unscientific sample was women, surely the married woman did not light, so why not? How does that make any sense? It's a beferish halacha that women are obligated, and even if you'll tell me somehow they can be yotzei, which we'll have to see if that's even true, but why would they rely on someone else lighting for them when the whole premise of mahadrin min mahadrin is that everyone lights for themselves? So why would we not have, it's a separate kiyum for women to light for themselves, so why would we not have them light? Okay, good. That's question number one. Question number two, which I want to start with, is can a woman be motzi her husband? Can a woman be motzi her husband? Could a woman light for her husband? And let's assume a realistic case, because even though theoretically it could happen even if they're both standing there, but more realistically, let's say the husband is can't get home in time. So can his wife light for him or not? So it's in the earlier primary sources, you don't have an indication one way or another. The closest thing we have that's explicit is the Rambam about Megillah. You know, Megillah is not just one of the Achin Hoibos Anezes. It's also something that often goes together with Tabachanaku and Megillah. So the Rambam in Hilchos Megillah tells us that since you need a Bar Chayuva for Megillah, therefore, a Cherishot of a Kotan cannot be Motzi someone else. But what's the clear inference? That a woman could. That a woman could. And that's what that Chornim point out from the Rambam. Now, the truth of the matter is that Rov Rishonim hold that way. Rov Rishonim hold that way. That a woman could read Megillah, not just for herself, not just for other women. She could be Motzi, a man. She's Chayeves, Avinayvos Anes. There is a famous Shita of the Bahag that disagrees. The Bahag holds that a woman cannot be Motzi, a man. Now, why? You might even not be able to Motzi other women. Why she cannot be Motzi a man? Why not? So that's not clear in the Bahag. It's a famous machlokes. Why? So let's use that for a moment and ask the following question. If we assume, and in fact it's Shteit Shulchan Aruch is the case, that a woman, whatever your minhag is generally, but if the case needed arises, it's a fair shalacha, married woman could certainly light for her husband, certainly probably even another member of the family could, but the most common example would be the wife. So if that's the case, and on the other hand, let's say we have the Bahag, which as we all know is the Minhag Yisrael, we don't, even in, I don't know, any part of the Frum community in which women are being motzi men. So the Bahag, not that we're necessarily sure he's right, but we're machmir for the Bahag. That the Magen Avraham says we should, that's the consensus, it's to be machmir for that Bahag. So the question is, why would there be a chazun? Which one is the Iker? Is Megillah the Iker? That even the women are obligated in Afenaz Vanes, but they can't be mostly men. We don't know why yet. But that's the Iker, and we have to figure out, well, why should Hanukkah be different when we're Mako? Or is the shoe on the other foot? Really, Hanukkah is the main halacha. Women should be able to be motzi men. It's a din in Shulchan Aruch, it's a din in Gemara, and maybe Megillah is the exception. If you, this is, again, also an important way of looking. You have two similar halachos.
Could it be?
Yeah, please.
Before, it could be different than now. In other words, today we do it inside. No real pure simanes. So maybe now, I mean, it's
so lekula or lechomra.
Lekula. So therefore, less than the Megillah. No matter, the Megillah is the same.
So therefore, we can be more mako.
Yeah.
The question is, we'd have to see: are there poskim who would distinguish between inside and outside? But you're saying if they would, that would be the explanation. Okay. That, yeah, which maybe it is. That's the question. Well, which one needs... Well, again, what I'm asking you is... Oh, that's my question. Which one is Ton Hezver? Which one is more difficult to understand? Why? Because if they're Chayovis, why shouldn't she be Motzi? But you say Ikra, then she should be allowed.
Right.
Okay, good. So let's... Just to give you a quick run through, Why can't a woman, what is the explanation for the Bahag? Why can't a woman be motzi a man in Megillah reading? As I mentioned, there's different theories. So one possibility, which is mentioned in Tosfos and Masechta Sukkah, is what you said, which is Kavanat Tzibur. I'm not here to discuss what Kavanat Tzibur means, to define it, that's a complicated question. But the Gemara says, the Tosfos says, the reason that a woman can't be motzi a man is because of Kavanat Tzibur. So if that's the case, exactly as you said correctly, Friedman, that really Mikra Din, she should be able to be motzi. It's just that in something public, we'll call it. Like Megillah reading, it's not Bekavadik, it's not Sinias, whatever, however you want to define it. Okay, but in Mechanica, which is in the home, which is, even if it's in the house, maybe you could say, but it's not a public thing, it's still a private family-by-family kind of thing. So it makes sense why a woman should be able to, like, you're not going to have a Kavadat Sibur problem. That's one possibility. Another possibility is how to understand the Bahag. The standard, most common explanation of the Bahag is that in Megillah, there are two Chiyuvim. Kriya, reading the Megillah, and Shemiah, hearing the Megillah. And perhaps Tosa suggests that the Bahag learned that Afein Hoibos Anes does not mean the women have the same Chiyuv as men, which is both, but rather they only have a Chiyuv of Shemiyas HaMegillah. So far as to say that the Rav Yoh holds that a woman would make a different Nosach HaBrocha if she was reading for herself. Not Al Mikra Megillah, but Lishmoa.
You don't have a Mishayishna of the Shemiyah.
Not that I know of. Good, that's good. But let me finish the thought. So if you assume that that's the case, that women are only chayavis in Shemiya, but a man is obligated in Mikra Megillah, that's why he can't be motzi. That's why she can't be motzi him. So if that's the case, maybe that's a special halacha in Megillah. But who said that that's true? Right? Now, what you could say, this is where I want to go to, and then I'll take your point. You could also say, based on Rav Soloveitchik, another halacha, which is that maybe Apein Hoi Ba'osa Hanes means that women do not have the same level chiyuv as a man. So we don't assume that we said until now that women are chayavis like a man in Dalet Kosos, Mikra Megillah, and Hanukkah candles. Maybe it's a slightly lower level of an obligation. Maybe they're not obligated fully. That's very much similar to this Bahag. And then that would beg the question, so why would you allow them to make the Hanukkah candles? And we'll get to that in 1 second. Yes?
I don't know why I've been Megillah that he lacks spirit spontaneous than the Shemis Megillah.
That's not the point. The Bahag, again, this, if you'll remind me, Blin at a Purim time, we could discuss the Bahag. I think we may be in half, but we'll discuss it again. Why? But that, it's not even clear that that's the Bahag's explanation, but that's what some Tosasin, when they quote the Bahag, if you look in the Bahag itself, I don't even know if he says this, but sometimes the Tosfos quotes this as an explanation for the Bahag. So why it should be, would be a Purim Shir, not that I want to spend time now. Now, another possibility, especially if we want to assume that Hanukkah, that was one possibility where Hanukkah, in a certain sense, is the Iker. An alternative possibility is that we have to reevaluate Hanukkah. Let's get back to our home base, Hanukkah. How do we understand the idea that everyone lights? After all, isn't the halacha nari shubeso you only have to light once? One candle, one per family? So one possibility is to understand, and this is a huge machlokas, again, it could have been the topic of the shir itself, big discussion, Pnei Yoshua, Sfas Semes, all the Achronim discuss this. What is the nature of the mitzvah of Hanukkah candles to begin with? Is it an individual chiyuv that we have? The Gemara says you only need one candle per house. Okay, but how many people make kiddush in your house each week? Right? Just one person. So then the Netziv gives that as a comparison. Just like someone can be motzi you in kiddush, even though we're all obligated individually to make kiddush, someone can be motzi me Hanukkah candles, even though I have an obligation to have Hanukkah candles. That's one possibility. However, others suggest no. The Iker Din of Hanukkah is that it's a Chovas HaBayis. The Bayis has to have a menorah. How many candles is a different question, but it's only one menorah. The Bayis has to have one menorah, maybe only even one candle. It's a Chovas HaBayis, not like Kiddush, like Mezuzah. Right? We don't all have to put up the Mezuzah. We don't need four Mezuzahs on each door because there's four people in the house. It's a Chovas HaBayis. The Bayis has to have a Mezuzah. If that's the case, maybe we could say generally, Afein Hoibos HaNeis does not give the women the same level of chiyuv, and therefore that's why it's understandable in Megillah, she can't be motzi the man. How come she can be motzi the man in Hanukkah candles? Because it's not really a Chovas Gavra to begin with. It's a Chovas HaBayis. So then, lamai nafkemita to say women are chayiv? Because we have a general rule that even when you have something like chumas abayas, a cotton can't light it. It's not a chumas agavra, who cares? The answer is because even if you have a chumas abayas, if an eino bar chayuva, someone who's not even obligated, lights the candle, it does not have any significance. It does not have a status of a halakha shel mitzvah. The bias needs a halakha shel mitzvah. The reason it can't be a katan is not because the katan is chayiv personally, or I'm chayiv as an adult personally, therefore the katan can't be motzi me. The answer is that a katan's lighting is irrelevant. It's as if the house doesn't have anything. You need a person who's obligated to create a meaningful, significant lighting. But as long as that lighting happens, it's not that the individuals in the house are obligated, the house was obligated. You mean in terms of who puts up the mezuzah, let's say? Maybe. I didn't think about it, but certainly could be. Again, the point is, we have this as other examples where you have what I'll call result-oriented mitzvos. We still have a halacha about who does it. This is the big issue, for example, with shofar. Right? If you assume it's shmiya, then it's shmiya shofar, right? Shmoa kol shofar. So how come there's a halacha about who blows the shofar? This is a big, big discussion. So the answer is most likely similar to this, even though it's a result-oriented mitzvah, or in our case, a bias, but still, it's not meaningful unless the person who produces that sound, or who lights the candle, is someone who is chayiv. That doesn't mean that they were themselves chayiv. We're all chayiv in the chavas bias. I just want to conclude by mentioning the following point, which is if this is all true, so it really begs the shiloh, why would there be a minug widespread, not widespread, Europe, America, Tunisia, wherever, why is there a minug in many houses for women not to light? And the answer is this bothered the achronim terribly. They don't understand it because it doesn't make any sense. So there's an Ola Shmuel that says something really radical, that perhaps the Hatzalah was bigger for men, because even though, because apparently the women were also, you know, the Greeks made the men do immoral things too. And those immoral things that the men had to do, they were Chayiv Limsuras Navsham, it was Yehar Gval Yavor. Whereas the women, we have the famous din from the Sanhedrin of Karka Ola, maybe as horrible as it was with the Hegmon Triva, but a woman was not obligated to give up her life for that. So somehow the Hatzalah was greater for men. Very hard to understand. I almost hesitated sharing it with you. But there's this Ola Shmuel on the books that everyone quotes. That's one possibility. Another possibility, similar to what Joey said, is known in the name of the Chasam Sofer. I think his son, the Chasam Sofer, quotes it also, which connects it back to the original minhag of lighting outside. He said, well, since we originally lit outside, it wasn't tznius for the women to be mingling everyone together. But it's not clear what he means by that. Number one, did that mean that only the married, not the single? Did that mean, was he trying to sue? It sounds like he's almost describing reality that women didn't go outside, therefore that's why they didn't originally do it. That itself is unclear, but what's certainly unclear, however you understand that, is but now it's Joseph, but we light inside now. So some suggest it goes back to the Chasam Sofer, since in those previous years, even though it's been hundreds of years since that was universal, so maybe that how somehow that developed. That's a possibility. The third answer, which is what's quoted, I think, in at least one simon in Mishnah Berurah, was a stira in Shulchan Aruch, in Mishnah Berurah. But in one of them is the idea from Marshal, which is very difficult, but the Marshal says, Ishto Kegufo. Now the problem with the Marshal is that he was not explaining Minhag Ashkenaz, where everyone likes. You take a look at the Marshal, he's explaining the Rambam. The Rambam Shita is that even according to Mahajim and Mahadrin, where everyone's got a menorah, but he says only one person lights. Rambam holds, this is the Brisker Rav is a famous piece on this. The Rambam writes, it's not our minhag like the Rambam, that's a misconception. The Rambam holds that yes, everyone has a menorah, but not everyone lights. The Rambam holds that the father goes from menorah to menorah to menorah. So there, in that context, the Marshal says, Yishtok Gufo. But in minhag Ashkenaz, following the Rambam, that everyone lights on their own, and many Achronim say what that means is that even though Mi'akar did it's a Chovas Habayis, but the Mahadrim and the Mahadrim means is that we treat it, we make it like a Chovas Gavra, that everyone else is going to light on their own. So why would the whole kiyum, the whole purpose that Gemara says, everyone lights, that is part of the Hiddur Mitzvah. So why would you say, therefore, Yishtok Gufo, that a chiyum that I have, my husband can fulfill for me because of Yishtok Gufo? What other makar do we have for that? There is no such other halacha. It's a very difficult Mishnah Berurah, it's a very difficult Marshal. So those are the three theories that I know of that explain the minhag, which as I said, when at least as it comes to married women, it includes my family also, my mother didn't like, my wife doesn't like. But it's not clear, I would not be comfortable, I'm not satisfied with any of those answers. The answer is, nope, somehow that's how it's done. I'll leave you with the following. The Maisa, it's a common minhag not to. I don't know about other Gedolim, other families. I know, for example, that I saw both from Rav Herschel Schachter and from Rav Lichtenstein that in Rav Soloveitchik's family, perhaps in Europe and certainly in America, the women, including the wife, absolutely lit. In Rav Schachter's Sefer Nefesh HaRav, he is dismissive, very with strong words of the Mishnah Berurah. He says it makes no sense, this idea of Yishtok HaGufa, that a woman should light. And in fact, there, Lamaisa, Lamaisa, I have heard in other times from Rav Schachter himself, he said that when he got married, he had this Masar from his Rebbe, so he wanted his wife to light, and she looked at him and said, Herschel, am I an almana? What do you think I got married for? So, if you know them, you'll appreciate the subtlety of the humor, but the bottom line is that, you know, at the end of the day, the lumdus is all nice, but if the wife doesn't want a light, she ain't gonna light. That's the bottom line. There's something about it, whether it's halachic or cultural, where it's like a couple lights one menorah. So why that is, there are some defenses for it, whether it's yaminug or not yaminug, that's the basic issue. But that doesn't explain why you would have single girls not lighting. Ishtok Agufo would only explain why the married wife might not light. It would not explain, obviously, why the girls in the family wouldn't light. For the girls not to light, you need to give one of these other explanations, which are both very, very dachuk. But Lamaisa, whatever the minhag of your family is, that you should keep. This is just the halacha. Okay. Be well, everyone. Have a freilich and Chanukah. Good Shabbos.